We're going to be reflecting again, as I said, on the kingdom is here, but not yet. It's a wonderful theme in the Reformed theology, saying that when Jesus came, he inaugurated his kingdom. He's released the forces and strength and power of heaven, the healings and miracles that the apostles did were in the name of the kingdom. And we're remembering that by visiting this passage in Acts 2, where the community of faith begins to worship together. And it shows the kingdom is here. But it's not yet, because through time and history, we've 2,000 years of history, church history, of the church growing and expanding all around the world, and being present here, and we are still seeing the conflict of God's kingdom versus the kingdom of darkness, and it continues to invade, and we pray that it continues to overcome the forces that are arrayed against us. But in studying this a little bit, we want to remember that this passage will tell us that the apostolic community gathered around breaking of the bread and the feasting together, this gathering of those who are, they're gathered around the table. You know, this is even a picture of it, is Jesus and the Lord at the Last Supper, maybe. But that gets carried on as we gather at the table of the Lord. And they are witnesses of Jesus' life, his ministry, and his resurrection. That apostolic early community, they witnessed it. They saw it all. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses, and you will go forth as the kingdom begins to unfold. And remember, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Tiny, tiny little seed that grows into a mighty bush. It's like a bush. I don't know what a mustard bush actually looks like, but it's flourishing. And that is really how you picture this little band of disciples growing into the early church with a number of believers believing Peter's sermon, and then it just really explodes all around the world to where it is today. These guys are witnesses of it, and then they gather with the believers who respond on the day of Pentecost to Peter's preaching, and they all represent the beginning of the fulfillment of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. It's a simple phrase that we repeat in the Lord's Prayer. We may not reflect on it or think that much about it. We say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're wanting God to be praised and glorified as this early church is doing in Acts 2. And then thy kingdom come. In other words, we're saying and praying to the world, the blessing of the kingdom of God come and be present among you. And they are gathering in this community, early community, to learn, to worship, and to give thanks, and to share, and to remember, and to be the body of Christ. That is what they're doing together. May we also, like them, live according to their example, inspired by their sense of purposefully living as citizens of the kingdom of God, experiencing and sharing his love with one another and with their communities. Let us pray a moment before we read the passage itself. Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of this word, which we find powerfully speaking to us and convicting us of who we are before you, an unholy people, made holy, made righteous in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of status of being forgiven, completely forgiven in Jesus our Lord. May that message ring true to us as we reflect on these few words found in Acts chapter 2. In his Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is good to pray before we read the scriptures because the early church was always praying. Praying was a big mark of what they did. So Acts 2, 42 to 47, it's a wonderful conclusion to that chapter. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to Him. So reflect on this Communion Sunday. We pray that God can help us to remember the blessing of comfort granted to us by what this communion table represents. May it bring to us peace, the peace of the Lord, a peace that passes all understanding. May it keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as we experience this peace, may we feel the presence and power of the Lord upon us. This table here and our sharing in the communion in the Lord's Supper tells us that we are included in the community of grace, a community gathered in Jesus Christ, founded by the gospel of our Lord. Every one of us in Jesus Christ has a place at this table. In the family of God, providing we are giving the credit to Jesus as our Savior and Lord. We belong to this community of faith, body and soul, and both present here on earth and living eternally in heaven. We're gathered and collected together as a one grand community. It's quite amazing because that's what Jesus is really kind of reflecting when he says, the kingdom come on earth, but also may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because in heaven it's accomplished. It's finished. And so all who have gone before, all who have died in this confession of Jesus as Lord and Savior, our ancestors in the faith, they join us from heaven in joyful adoration of our Lord. It's a tremendous community that transcends all boundaries. So let us be joyful in our worship, as the scriptures remind us to do and to be. Our reflection of that joyful community is why we gather in the same spirit and with the same desire and with the same anointing of the Holy Spirit as they had when they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, Holy Communion, and prayer. The early church was devoted. They had their hearts set on the Lord. They gave themselves to Him 100%, and they didn't hold themselves back. It's in His Word that we seek to understand on its own terms the Bible. To understand it, and one of the really critical things I learned in seminary is not great theology coming from out of a book external to you, but the way to understand Scripture is to let Scripture interpret Scripture. If you don't understand some part of Scripture, remember that the whole context of Scripture will usually inform and tell you about it. So as I'm talking about the kingdom of God, I did a basic search in BibleGateway.com. It's wonderful. And there you put in the kingdom word, just the kingdom. And then all the texts come out of the scriptures and talks about the kingdoms of this world, you know, because they're part of it. There's a pharaoh, he's a king. There's the kings of Israel. There's Nebuchadnezzar, he's a king. I mean, kings have existed. They are still even present today with their kingdoms. King Charles, King Willem in the Netherlands, all around the world. But then also, in Scripture, it says the kingdom of God is going to be eternal. The kingdom of God will reign forever. And over His kingdom, Jesus shall reign, it says in Isaiah. And that's where it lists itself far above any earthly setting. And you're with the Lord in His kingdom. And our King of Kings and Lord of Lords is reigning from heaven. So the Bible contains this apostolic teaching. And it also, it reveals to us for sure the will, the law of God, the will of God in you know, the Ten Commandments, a basic revelation. But it also contains all the prophetic determinations, which means that we now gather at this table with these blessed elements, the bread and the cup, in honor of our King, who is Jesus. And that's what the scriptures lead us to believe and to do, to come to him, who is shown in Revelation at the final book as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming with the conquering sword. And he's going to establish his kingdom once and for all. When the community has gathered in fellowship, a community of faith, the community of Jesus Christ, gathers in fellowship, we have built a body of believers together where we are going to break bread together and pray. We are a community of prayer. So we shall pray before, during, and after our Lord's Supper here this morning, asking, your kingdom come, O Lord, and your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. It is your will that we remember. It is your will that we go out to act as your beloved community, bringing your grace wherever we go. We are sharing in the cup. We are sharing in the bread because we are sharing in Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. And this Lord's Supper is a true remembrance of who he is and who he is to us and what he will be and where he is going, his direction on the road of redemption. We grieve before the Lord, even as we share this supper together, that there is so much that gets in the way. There are obstacles that put a barrier between us and the love of Christ. They come to steal that joy away. They come to negate our trust and faith in the Lord. But our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit granted to us by our Lord and the Father, is poured out upon us to help us overcome those obstacles. And there are many distractions. There are many deviations where we want to go off the road of redemption and follow our own way. And we grieve before the Lord for those things because we're asking him to help us and give us strength to overcome. We are often in a place where we, in our faith, need to trust, need to exercise our trust in him so that he comes to meet us and helps us overcome, and helps us to remain steadfast on the road of redemption. And he wants us to be there. He wants us to stay true and steadfast and persevere to the end. We are coming here together this morning, not because we are finished with the work of God's kingdom, because we are still busy with it. We are coming here to plead the Lord's redemption over us in a lost and fallen world, and ask that in the midst of our lives, our Lord Jesus will become present and real, that we will know his comfort and his love helping us along our way. We are praying that you truly come, Lord Jesus, come and bring your kingdom to fruition. As we share the bread and we share the cup, we are believing that our Lord Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is present among us. It's a remarkable way of proclaiming that he has accomplished the work on the cross, applied the merits of his redemption to us, and he will continue to minister to us as we go on the road of redemption to follow him and be steadfast in our faith and in our confession, putting Jesus first no matter what. And our calling then is to be in mission, to be in mission with the Lord. We will do whatever we can to make the difference in our world. We shall share that we are all accountable to God, and we will all stand before him in the great judgment. And we are saying and sharing this with the world. I was reflecting on this yesterday with the men of faith, saying that when you're sharing faith with someone, one of the things that you can find them wondering about is whether they're, many people really often feel just unworthy of God, you know. I've run into people who don't go to church, and they say, I'm not going to church because I am a sinner. You know, I can't go and be among the righteous. You know, they look at us as the righteous, the holy ones. But we need to say to them, no, we are redeemed sinners just like you. Please come. We're all going to stand before the judgment of Jesus Christ. We who believe in him are delivered from it and are given the declaration that we are in the kingdom of God and that we are welcome. Jesus is going to welcome us home, like I was talking about the lost last week. But share with them that, you know, the accountability you might feel to God, he's clarified how it works out in the Bible, in the scriptures, that there will come a great judgment day and we will all be raised, the living and the dead, and we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in a great judgment. And we say to someone who may not believe or understand these things, don't you want that freedom? Don't you want that deliverance? Don't you want that redemption that was won for you and it is yours? It is free, cost nothing. But you must come in humility. You must confess your sin. You must give yourself to the Lord. The key is not to construct the best argument when we come to this great judgment. You see, it's not about a perfect score. It's not about being able to talk your way out of it, which some people are really good at. And it's not about trying to hide who we are, because some people have done that for a long time, hiding who they really are. But our coming to the Lord Jesus is coming as ourselves, in honest truth, giving God the glory he is due. And we are believing that Jesus is revealed fully in the scriptures and in himself by the Holy Spirit. And he is revealed even as we share in the bread and the cup. And we are going to confess before the Lord that we are giving God the glory for what he has done for us. And we are going to allow him to lead us on the road of redemption. Praise be to the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Let us pray a moment. Dear Lord, thank you that we can confess that your kingdom has come in Jesus Christ, and he has made it available to us that we may have it in our hearts. May you lead us and guide us in your kingdom, O Lord, and help us to be your kingdom people as we go out into the world today. As we share in the supper, Lord, bless us and keep us in your grace and help us to remember that this is the good news for us and the good news for our community of faith here and for our community of Guam and out beyond into all the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.